Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Ecuador terminates investment agreements. Interview with the president of the commission that recommended said course of action. Rafael Correa, president of Ecuador, signed on Tuesday 16 executive orders that denounce and terminate all investment protection agreements signed by the country, especially in the last decade of the past century. This came after the recommendations by the National Assembly, which on May the 3rd had voted in favor of terminating 12 agreements. The agreements terminated were those signed with the UK, Germany, China, Switzerland, Chile, Sweden, France, the Netherlands, Venezuela, Argentina, Canada, the US, Spain, Peru, Bolivia, and Italy. Moreover, the decision by the Ecuadorian president also follows the recommendations by the Ecuadorian Citizens Commission for a comprehensive audit of investment protection treaties and of the International Arbitration System on Investments, CAIDISA, established by the Ecuadorian government in October 2013 to study the benefits and costs of these agreements. On May the 8th, a few days after the vote at the National Assembly, CAIDISA submitted in Quito, capital of Ecuador, the outcomes of its work. Real World Radio interviewed the president of this commission and researcher at the Transnational Institute of the Netherlands, Cecilia Olivet, to know more about the main findings of the working group. The interview was conducted on Monday, before the signing of the executive orders by President Correa. The commission was made up by 12 people, among them government officials, academics, lawyers, and civil society groups. It is necessary to highlight the presence of the foremost expert on investment law, Muthukumaraswamy Sornaraja, and the former Attorney General for Argentina, Osvaldo Guglielmino. CAIDISA finished its tasks in 2015 after 2 years of work, but the complete results were submitted last week. The report is around 700 pages long. The Ecuadorian government analyzed the results even after pressure was exerted for it not to follow the recommendations, which were not binding. But the administration led by Rafael Correa followed them anyway. Let's now listen to the interview.
The findings of the commission that audited Ecuador's investment regime were conclusive. On the one hand, the bilateral investment treaties that Ecuador signed have not brought any benefits to the country. On the other hand, it has brought enormous risks and costs. Just to be a bit more specific, we found out that the bilateral investment treaty signed by Ecuador failed to deliver on the promise of foreign direct investment. For example, the principal sources of foreign direct investment into Ecuador are from Brazil, Mexico, and Panama. Yet none of these countries have bilateral investment treaties with Ecuador. We also find out that seven of the largest foreign investors in Ecuador, from those seven largest, only 23% come from a country which has an investment treaty with Ecuador. So that correlation that was promised between, you know, if you sign investment treaties, you will attract foreign direct investment, it hasn't materialized. We also find out that, in fact, the Ecuadorian investment treaties have undermined the development objectives that were laid out in the country's constitution. In particular, the constitution of 2008 requires the state to regulate foreign investment to ensure that it plays a positive role in achieving the country's plan for living well, what it's called the plan, El Plan para el Buen Vivir. However, the bilateral investment treaties that the government signed back in the 90s, more or less, I mean, in large part, that's when most of the treaties were signed, include clauses that specifically erode that competence of the state to regulate investment. So, as I was saying, I mean, this key finding of the commission is that the promises of investment, the promises of development have failed to materialize. On the other hand, we also find out that the costs for Ecuador have been immense and investors have disproportionately benefited from these treaties. Ecuador has faced so far 26 investment arbitration cases in international tribunals. And in total, they have had to pay so far $1.5 billion. This, you know, it's a number that maybe in abstract doesn't tell as much, but it's more or less equivalent to 2% of the overall health budget of the country. So to put it in perspective, you know, it makes a big dent in the public budget of Ecuador, this amount that they have already paid both to investors but also to lawyers and to arbitrators for defending themselves and deciding on these cases. On top of what they've already paid, there is also the risk that the government's still facing based on the open cases. And we calculated that the current demands, like altogether the demands the investors have made in based on the open cases, is 13.4 billion US dollars. And this is equivalent, again, to put it in perspective, of 52% of the general state budget for 2017. So this gives us an idea of the risks and the costs that the government of Ecuador has had to face and is still facing. And finally, another key finding is that the bilateral investment treaties negotiated by Ecuador, as I said, mainly in the 90s, were done without any actual negotiation, meaning the public officials who signed these treaties did not try to negotiate any terms that would preserve the capacity of the state to regulate. They just signed on the dotted line, taking on without any attempt to change the model that was imposed mainly by the governments from the US or European countries. And the other, in relation to this, we also checked whether there's been any debate in Congress to assess the risks. And again, we found out that almost none of the bilateral investment treaties from Ecuador that were approved by Congress followed a parliamentary debate. So they were approved in mass, just all together without any real debate on the consequences for the country. The main effect of the bilateral investment treaty signed by Ecuador is twofold, I would say. On the one hand, they have left a massive hole in the national budget. On the other hand, they have undermined the capacity of the state to regulate the companies that operate particularly in the extractive sector. More than 60% of the investment arbitration cases against Ecuador relate to the oil and the mining sectors. Every time the government, particularly the government of President Correa, has tried to increase taxes or to make sure that companies adhere to environmental standards, they have sued. So they have this privilege, this special treatment that they can bypass the national law and the national courts and just directly sue at international arbitration tribunals. And in that way, they are creating pressure on the government to not regulate in this way these companies. Based on the recommendations of the Auditing Commission, and also after the National Assembly of Ecuador have given the okay and basically the support for the government to terminate the 16 remaining bilateral investment treaties, the government of President Correa has decided to complete the termination of these treaties. CAITISA, the Ecuadorian Auditing Commission, concluded its work already in 2015. This was a two-year process. We concluded with a report that was almost 700 pages. So this was an ad hoc commission. We finished what we were asked to do. And in that sense, there is no continuation of the work with the government on this matter. The recommendations of the commission are non-binding. So we on last week we were asked to present publicly the results of the commission, and yeah, I understand that the government took its time to also analyze the findings, analyze the recommendations, and the decision to follow the recommendations comes after a thorough consideration of what this commission find out, and that very in-depth, extensive 700 pages report. So in a way, that's it. Like, it was a commission that had actually originally it was meant to work only for a year, and we extended the work for 2 years, but it has definitely concluded its job.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.